news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A new week begins as the trial of a former cop for the murder of George Floyd enters its third week in Minneapolis. The headlines this Monday morning include news of police in Virginia assaulting an Army lieutenant and of police in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, killing a black man during a traffic stop. Outside of the Brooklyn Center, Minnesota Police Department headquarters on Sunday night, hundreds of people chanted the name of 20-year-old Dante Wright. Officers in riot gear fired a chemical irritant and rubber bullets at the crowd, hitting at least two people, leaving one bleeding from the head. National Guard troops, already in nearby Minneapolis for the Chauvin trial, were deployed to work with the police to restore calm. Police said they were trying to take a man into custody after they determined he had outstanding warrants during a traffic stop. He got back into his vehicle and an officer shot him, according to police. He then drove several blocks before striking another vehicle and dying. Wright's mother said that her son called her as he was being pulled over. He said it was because he had air fresheners hanging from his rearview mirror. Video has just been made public of a December 5th incident in Windsor, Virginia, where cops pulled over Karen Nazario, a uniformed black Army medic. The video shows two officers pulling their guns on Nazario and then pepper spraying and handcuffing him and threatening to bring charges against him if he complained about their conduct. Joe Gutierrez, the one who blasted Nazario with pepper spray as he sat in the car with both arms out of the window, has been fired. Nazario filed suit against both of them on April 2nd, accusing them of using excessive force due to racial profiling and violating his constitutional rights. From the What Can We Do files? Well, Maryland became the first state to repeal its powerful Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights after the state's Democratic majority legislature overrode Republican Governor Larry Hogan's veto of three historic police accountability bills. Just saying. More than 100 corporate leaders met online over the weekend to discuss ways to fight those controversial voter restriction bills under consideration in something like 43 states. That includes Georgia's recently signed new law, The Washington Post citing four people who participated in the call. One of the proposals discussed by executives from major airlines, retailers, and manufacturers, plus at least one NFL owner, was suspending donations to politicians who support those bills. Some of the participants also proposed holding off on new investments in states that adopt these new voting restrictions. The former guy recently called for boycotts of Coca-Cola, Major League Baseball, Delta Airlines, and other companies that condemned the Georgia law, which critics say would make it harder for people of color to vote. With that looming, Congress returns to Washington this week with a very busy agenda. It includes infrastructure, immigration, and gun control. President Biden's $2 trillion infrastructure and tax plan tops the list, but it could take months to advance as Democrats remain divided over details of the policy and how exactly to pass it. Meanwhile, there are discussions about a possible bipartisan approach to expand background checks and other gun legislation following a spate of mass shootings. But as usual, it's not clear whether a deal can be made that'll pass through both chambers. And about health care. Top Democratic allies are pushing the White House in different directions over whether to use this upcoming spending package to strengthen the Affordable Care Act or to expand Medicare eligibility. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi is pushing the White House to make permanent a temporary expansion of Affordable Care Act subsidies, while Senate Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders is pushing for reducing the Medicare eligibility age to 55 or 60 and expanding dental, vision, and hearing coverage. Meanwhile, the Republican National Committee held its spring retreat this weekend in Palm Beach, Florida. They went to Trump's turf for their first gathering since his defeat. The location shows that the former guy still holds power in the dysfunctional party. Around 360 Republican donors and a bunch of party officials were staying at Palm Beach's Four Seasons Resort, not to be confused with Four Seasons Total Landscaping. Anyway, on Saturday night, they were shuttled 10 minutes up the road to Mar-a-Lago for a speech by Trump. Although it's our policy here at What's News to basically ignore the ravings of a lunatic, not wasting time on the former guy, I'll make an exception here to note that many of the big donors skipped that event. Those who did go were subjected to Trump's typical alternating boasts about his imagined successes and ugly smears against his foes. He went after Republicans who he believes didn't support him significantly enough alongside the expected attacks on Democrats. Politico reporting that many donors were dismayed and disgusted with his speech, quoting one who attended as saying, "It was horrible. It was long and negative. It was dour. He didn't talk about the positive things that his administration has done." They also reported that a few donors were spotted out dining elsewhere while the former guy droned on. Well, Iran on Sunday called a mysterious blackout at its underground Natanz atomic facility, quote, "nuclear terrorism." The power failure appeared to have resulted from an explosion that destroyed the facility's internal power system. Iranian officials called the outage an act of sabotage and pointed the finger at Israel. This occurred several hours after Iran started up new advanced centrifuges capable of enriching uranium more quickly. World powers are trying to bring Iran back into compliance with the nuclear deal and get the United States to rejoin the accord, which the former guy abandoned. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met on Sunday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who has said he'll do what he can to block the revival of the Iran nuclear deal. Isn't he under indictment and didn't he just lose his election? Just saying. In COVID news, as of Monday morning, 35.9% of the U.S. population had received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. 21.9% is fully vaccinated. An increasing number of U.S. colleges are announcing they will require students to have a vaccine before returning to campus next fall. Rutgers in New Jersey was the first to decide on a mandatory vaccine policy, and more than a dozen residential colleges have since made similar announcements, including Notre Dame, Duke, Brown, Cornell, and Northeastern. Vaccine requirements are nothing new. A survey of 104 year schools in 50 states found that nearly all required at least one vaccine. And despite the perceived light at the end of the tunnel, the United States is still seeing an increase in coronavirus cases and hospitalizations, this time among younger people who haven't yet gotten a shot. However, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky did point out that death rates are going down, but it's all relative, considering more than 562,000 people in the U.S. have already died of the virus. And finally, President Biden and Vice President Harris meet Monday afternoon with a group of Republicans and Democrats to see how much bipartisan support he can muster for his $2 trillion infrastructure jobs program. But this is a different group of Republicans than the gang of usual suspects who are willing to work on a compromise deal. They've invited ranking members on relevant committees. So the Republicans participating Monday, Senators Roger Wicker of Mississippi and Deb Fischer of Nebraska, and Congressman Garrett Graves of Louisiana and Don Young of Alaska. Democrats in the meeting are Senators Maria Cantwell of Washington and Alex Padilla of California, and Congressman Donald Payne Jr. of New Jersey and David Price of North Carolina. And that's just a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.